Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Unemployment benefit claims have surpassed 1 million in North Carolina, with many, many of those cases the results of the pandemic. Add to that, schools are out and family budgets are stretched thin, and it's no wonder that the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina is seeing a greater demand for services than it has ever experienced before. Recently, News and Views producer Clayton Hinkle caught up with Jennifer Caslin, the Food Bank's marketing and project manager, to discuss how her organization is responding to the COVID-19 crisis across the 34 counties that it serves.
Well, Jennifer Caslin, welcome to News and Views.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Jennifer, the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina was busy even before the COVID-19 crisis. Talk to us a little bit about how these past few weeks have been for your organization.
Well, certainly the demand has increased quite a bit. We have done an informal survey with some of our partner agencies, and some of them are seeing up to 150% increase. And in the 2 weeks after everybody got the stay-at-home order and people started to be furloughed and laid off, the traffic on our Food Finder page went up 1,700%. So the need has definitely increased. We shifted to purchasing more food and purchasing more bulk food. We still have some volunteer support coming in. People want to come out and volunteer, but we have to keep those groups smaller now. So they have been able to do quite a bit, but certainly we haven't had the number of people that we normally do in the facility.
One of the things the food bank has been putting together are these family-sized boxes that you're distributing. Sounds like a lot of food and a lot of work, literally giving away thousands of boxes of food. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so this is something we typically do when there's a disaster. This is something that I think is specifically helping now because it's shelf stable goods and it's going to last a lot longer for families. But yeah, we've done, we've distributed over 20,000 boxes containing about 20 meals per box to folks.
And certainly many of your recipients started this year with a job and with health care. And now we're facing massive unemployment. Can you share a story or two of some of the folks you've met in just the past few weeks and how they've been affected by the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of one person in particular, a gentleman who's about 65, and he has a 17-year-old son, and he was retired. They kind of had a side business that was still bringing in some income for him and had never been without work in his entire life. Like I said, he's 65 years old, had never been out of work, had never been without a job, but had to call up the food bank and came into the food bank and needed some food for himself and his son. And he actually said, which was quite, you know, emotional for us, he said, it's the first good mood he's been in several weeks. So we were really happy to be able to provide him not only with that food, but a good mood for once in a couple of weeks. This is a completely unprecedented time, something like we have never dealt with before. Obviously, the unemployment numbers are very scary. A lot of people are in the same boat. I think those who are still working and still have a regular income are probably in the minority right now. So this is why we're here. We're here to nourish people. So we want people to, you know, I know it's hard to put aside that pride, but we're a community and we're all in it together, and we all want to help take care of the rest of the community who needs it.
Before the pandemic, one out of every eight Americans was struggling to stay fed. Now there are new estimates nationally that number is one out of every four Americans are struggling to stay fed. Are you worried that this is going to be a long-term situation, a long-term crisis for our state?
Well, it was actually one in five in our service area. We serve 34 counties in North Carolina, so it was one in five in our service area before this even happened. So we were already worse off than some other parts of the country, unfortunately. So yeah, definitely anything like this that impacts people and impacts such a large amount of people and without any kind of a blueprint for really going through something like this, I think it is going to take quite a long time to recover. We plan on being there for the long haul for folks.
Certainly in the past few weeks, we've heard about the food supply chain having some problems, shortages of beef in particular. How is that impacting the food bank? Are you seeing shortages? How's the supply chain holding up?
Yeah, so definitely the supply chain has been challenged in some ways. it seems like mostly it's been, normally most of our food is donated to us, and the folks that donate to us are just really overwhelmed right now trying to keep up with public demand, so we aren't seeing those donations to us necessarily like we were before, but we have been able to purchase food fairly easily. Certainly, we don't really know what it's going to look like down the line, but right now, since we did switch to more shelf-stable items that will last folks longer, we are getting some produce coming from the USDA and things like that. So right now, we are confident. Certainly, there are still areas that are tricky, but right now, we've been able to keep up with demand so far. Certainly, there could always be more challenges that come up down the line, but we will do whatever we can to work through those.
A lot of people, not just individuals, rely on the food bank. We're thinking of soup kitchens and pantries. You've had to adjust your model so the food gets to them with less contact and a lot more safety. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm working from home right now. I would say about half of our staff is working from home. Only the essential folks, essential to moving the food every day, are really at the warehouses just for safety purposes. We have moved to pulling orders for agencies and loading them in their vehicle when they arrive, so they are not coming into the facility really at all, whereas before they would have been able to come and sort of quote-unquote shop around to get what they needed. And then a lot of our agencies, so we serve our food and resources are gathered and then distributed among 900 partner agencies in our service area. And some of those have had to close just for safety purposes. A lot of them are run by folks who are in that age range that is more likely to really be impacted by COVID-19. So for that reason, some of them have had to stop operating. But luckily, most of them have been able to continue to operate, but most of them have moved from some sort of a drive-through or a window where folks are able to get the food so that they can operate more safely as well.
Well, summer is always a busy time for the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. Tell us about the Kids Summer Meal Program and how that's being adjusted this year.
Yeah, so summer has started early for us this year and for a lot of people. You know, the two vulnerable populations we were really concerned about when this all started were the kids and seniors, because kids were not going to be able to access those school meals they get every day, but actually we've been lucky that most of the schools in our service area have been able to continue those meals. On top of that, we have gotten our Kids Summer Meals program rolling early, and right now we are distributing 10,000 Kids Summer Meals each week. And we are looking also towards a partnership with the Interfaith Food Shuttle in order to get some individual frozen meals to kids and families that they can take home for the weekend as well. And those boxes we talked about earlier, we've also been able to provide some of those to the school sites and the Kids Summer Meal sites in order for the family to take those home for the weekend or for the rest of the family on the evenings. So we're doing our best to make sure that that family is fed all the time and supplement the school meals that are still being done wherever we can, and just make sure we can feed as many kids as possible, for sure.
There's an amazing infographic on the Food Bank's website that looks at the demand for services versus resources. Things like shelf-stable food, prepacked family boxes, more deliveries. Your ability to do that is a little bit below average, yet the demand for services is way above average. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, the demand is probably the highest I've seen in the 11 years I've worked at the Food Bank, and I started right at the height of the Great Recession. But one thing I can tell you that kind of sort of illustrates what we've been going through this last month or 2 months, normally we have about $55,000 budgeted for food purchase since most of it is donated. So that's for a month for the whole organization. Last month we spent $2 million on food. So that kind of gives you an idea of the increased need that we've seen and the sort of supply chain interruption that's come just from our normal donation channels. People in the community have been very generous, still wanting to donate funds and still wanting to donate their time. I don't think we quite yet know what the outcome looks like of the smaller volunteer groups. The volunteer groups we do have are getting a ton done, which is great. And last month in April, we had our biggest distribution month as an organization. Normally, we distribute about 7 million pounds a month. And last month, it was almost 7.7 million pounds of food. So almost a million pounds increase over last month, which is incredible. And again, if you think about other disasters we've had, weather disasters, we haven't even hit that mark after something like Florence, which impacted a majority of our service area. So this is really impacting a lot of people. The demand is quite high, and some of the resources are challenged right now with the number of volunteers we can bring in and the supply chain. But we are making it work, and we're going to be creative to continue the flow of food out into the community.
And certainly if you're sitting at home and you're wondering what you can do to make a difference, there are a lot of things that people can do right now to make a difference in their community, things like donations and a virtual food drive.
Yeah, so obviously anybody who wants to can just go on the website and make a donation. Probably the best place to go look to find out how to help right now is foodbankcenc.org/COVID-19. That is updated probably daily, and you can do a couple things there. You can make a donation of funds, and you can also sign up for a virtual food drive. So a virtual food drive is just like an online fundraiser type of thing. You can email it out to your friends, family, coworkers, have little competitions. You can set a goal. There's a little sort of rolling billboard that shows all the donors, and it's kind of a really cool thing to do virtually with your friends or family or your coworkers. And then you can also sign up to volunteer there if you are healthy and feel like you'd like to get out of the house and come volunteer. You can do that there as well.
Jennifer Caslin is the marketing and project manager for the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina. You can find their website at foodbankcenc.org. That's Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, foodbankcenc.org. Jennifer, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for helping us spread the word, and thanks to everybody who's supporting us so far.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news about COVID-19 at the State Department of Health and Human Services website, ncdhhs.gov. You can also check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.